Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Shannon Taggart, and we're going to be talking about her upcoming book, Seance, Spiritualist Ritual and Search for Ectoplasm. Spiritualism, the American-born religion, attempts to demonstrate through the intercession of a medium that death is not the end, but a transition. Shannon's spiritualism will merge ethnographic study, journalism, and art. She will contextualize spiritualism's history and highlight its surprising connection to 19th century social reform, scientific inquiry, artistic practice, and popular culture. Ultimately, this work seeks to amplify the reflexive relationship between spiritualism and photography and explore the ideological, material, geographical, historical, and metaphysical correspondences between the two. For more information about her book project, you can visit unbound.com/book/seance-spiritualist. I have a direct link to her book project in the show page description. Shannon Taggart is a photographer and independent researcher based in Brooklyn, New York. Her photographs have been exhibited and featured internationally, including within the publications Time, New York Times Magazine, Discover, and Newsweek. You can find more about Shannon's work by visiting her website, which is www.shannontaggart.com. Hello, Shannon. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It is my pleasure. I always love the opportunity to talk to other photographers. As I mentioned in one of our earlier correspondence, it's one of my passions. And what your work does is you really combine two of my favorite things, photography and the metaphysics. So I'm really looking forward to talking about your experience.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, I gave a little bit of introduction to the listeners, talking a little bit about your upcoming book, Seance, Spiritualist Ritual and Search for Ectoplasm, and referred them both to the book project page as well as to your website. But I didn't really kind of give them a background about you. And so if you wouldn't mind, would you share with the listeners a little bit about your background, the photography aspect, and how it is that you got interested in the metaphysical or the spiritual aspect?
Sure. So I studied photography. I went to RIT, which is a big photo school, and my major was photojournalism. And I began working right out of school as a photojournalist and also doing public relations photography. And I wanted to find a project that I could pursue in my spare time that let me be really creative. And I'm very interested in documentary photography, so I wanted to create a long-term project. And I decided to start at Lilydale, which is the world's largest spiritualist community. I grew up not far from Lilydale, and the reason I was interested in photographing in Lilydale is because when I was 16 years old, my cousin went there and got a reading from a medium that revealed these details about my grandfather's death that proved to be true. And this was like a family secret that nobody really talked about or shared until my cousin went and heard the details via a medium. And when this happened, I remember my entire family was really taken aback and kind of shocked by this information. And I thought to myself, how could a total stranger know such a thing? And I became really curious about mediumship. And so then years later, when I became a professional photographer, I decided to kind of explore or investigate the topic. And I thought I would spend maybe one summer doing a straightforward documentary project about this unique little town named Lilydale. And instead, here I am 16 years later, finally putting it together as a book.
Wow, that's 16 years. That's quite a long time. So, you know, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, today during the show to talking about some of your experiences, you know, with both the mediumship and with the photography. But first of all, let's start with photography. Now, I have my little tiny camera, and so I'm wondering, when it comes to the photographing spirit, what are some of the challenges that are involved with that? And do you use any special kind of equipment or process that helps you accomplish that?
So early on in the project, I became frustrated by photographing the topic of spiritualism and mediumship, because a lot of it is it's invisible activity. I would go to these sessions that were really emotionally charged, and people were saying they were speaking to the spirits of dead loved ones, and everybody was having this really emotional, powerful experience. But a lot of this you could not see. So I was making straightforward pictures, but they didn't really speak to the psychological reality of the events. So I even thought, gosh, I think spiritualism might be something that you really can't photograph, that you can't make a photo essay about, because it's such a hidden process. And I ended up having some happy accidents with my camera, like orbs or non-image forming light. And one time I was in a seance situation and I was trying to make a straightforward picture of this woman who everybody had seen like her doppelganger next to her, meaning like an image that looked just exactly like her standing beside her. And I didn't see this with my eyes. And I made a picture, and it was a dark situation, so it was a long exposure. And when I got the film back, there was this perfectly rendered image of a face that looked exactly like her, but a little bit different right next to her. And now this was a function of my long exposure. I understand that there was some motion involved, but it was such a perfect rendering. It looked exactly the way people were describing the way that the spirit looked mm-hmm. In their third eye, in their mind's eye. So I thought, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I should be more playful with the process. And I started really experimenting, and then found that I was having these wonderful synchronicities between the invisible experience and what was happening with my camera. So I brought that element into the project, and that's an aspect of it that I'm very interested in, like how the photographic process can kind of render these visual metaphors for things you can't see. If you play with it, if you let the mistakes happen, if this makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, it does. So, I mean, when you said you had a couple of happy accidents, you know, it seems that when you're particularly with photography, and you go through a formal training, you know, regarding light and shade and depth and, you know, all those kinds of things, that, you know, once you get to a point where you're trying to photograph something that is not able to be seen with a naked eye, then it kind of really throws all of that training out the door. I mean, you really kind of needed those accidents in order to kind of break the training, kind of break you out of the box.
Yes, I like to say that I'm in this project, I try to act as unprofessional as possible, meaning that, you know, when you're a professional photographer, you're really trying to control the process and tell the process what to do and have it work for you and render things exactly how you want to see them. where I'm doing the opposite. I'm trying to have my camera show me things. And I do this by, you know, doing long exposures, by doing like freezing motion really fast sometimes. Sometimes I've done, you know, run with the camera, allow light flare, allow light leaks, things like that. I also have experimented with infrared, both in film and like I converted a color camera to be a color infrared camera. You know, it was a regular camera and they can actually take off a sensor and make it into an infrared camera. And I do use that in the dark, but I found that I got the most interesting effects with just my regular camera, really. I mean, just playing with that. Although the infrared is interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure that it is. And you know, the idea that, you know, some of your best is with you just your regular camera. I mean, for those of us like me who like to experiment with a camera, that's, you know, it's encouraging to recognize that we too can kind of play with that idea. But with what you have done now, are there different, what are the different types of settings in which you have photographs? I mean, you mentioned seance, you know. What other kinds of settings are there? I mean, are there different types of seances, different types of, I noticed one thing in one of your, on your book project page, you mentioned the transfiguration setting. Can you talk about the different types of that you've been involved with?
Sure. So there's a lot of different types of seances. A clairvoyant seance could be in a light room. It could be a low light where people usually sit in a circle and one medium will give messages to everybody in the circle. Or if you're doing a development circle, which means people who are training to be mediums, everybody might go around and take turns giving messages. So that would be like a simple message circle. The other seances that I've been photographing, there's a movement within spiritualism. Not everybody practices this, certainly, but there are some. There's a new movement called the new. It's a group of practitioners who are trying to bring back the Victorian era seances. You know, where you sit in cabinets and you work in the dark and you try to have objects move, maybe produce ectoplasm. That's like a big goal. And these seances are rare. It's not the most popular form of mediumship. I would say generally most spiritualists and mediums work the way that's very familiar that we all see in TV shows like The Long Island Medium. That's pretty much the general way that most mediums are working. But there is a small group, I would say it's like a subculture within spiritualism that does want to produce physical effects and go back to the Victorian era ways. And those are called physical mediumship seances. And sometimes they're in the complete darkness. Sometimes they're under a dim red light. I've seen green light used and blue light, but for, I would say 95% of the time it's red light. And a transfiguration seance would be where a medium sits under a dim red light and tries to transform their body or allow the spirits to show faces over their face. And you sit in the dim red light and you stare at the medium, and sometimes you see amazing things. You see the medium completely, you know, morph or change. Now, a neuroscientist would tell you that this is because the light is so low that your brain is creating these effects because it's trying to piece together information. It's making leaps. So you're seeing this effect. It's almost like a psychedelic effect, really, with light. Because I've asked a neuroscientist this and they say, you know, your brain is so desperate to create these patterns, but spiritualists don't see it that way. They see it as you're actually seeing the material and the spiritual connect. And it's due to ectoplasmic energy, and that's that's their take on it. I don't make any, I think, you know, it depends on the viewer what you're going to interpret. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to think. I'm trying to present photographs that make you have your own, come to your own conclusion, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. So now, in the cases of the Transfiguration City, where people are seeing, you know, things more for, or, you know, or just different, seeing things differently. In whenever, have you been able to photographically capture any of that? Have you, when you have been in those situations, have you personally seen that kind of transformation or transfiguration?
Yes, I have seen transfiguration. It's one of the most interesting. I think for me, the transfiguration seances are some of the most interesting events I've ever witnessed. And it's just a very strange experience. And I don't really understand what to make of it, but it can be powerful and it doesn't always work. It really does depend on the medium and the atmosphere and the situation. But I've noticed with my pictures, I will often do long exposure of a medium sitting in a cabinet, and I will get very interesting images, but they look different from my experience, my actual experience. Mm. So, mm-hmm. So I always like to say that the camera kind of makes like references these experiences, but it definitely is its own thing. Like I see the photographs as their own kind of take on it. It's something else. It's not, you know, there's something so interior that happens when you're witnessing transfiguration that it's almost impossible to photograph it. But I have made photographs that show effects, but they're different. But I still find them very compelling. And in fact,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that, you know, when you mentioned personal, it really sounds like, you know, that personal experience, that personal connection is really critical as to what is perceived by each person. So if each person sees something slightly different or even very differently, then it seems that that personal, whatever is going on in your mind is, you know, interacting, is creating really what you see. So, I mean, it sounds like that it's, you know, that it would be, I mean, in this particular case, you know, like when you photograph an object, quite often many people, they may see a different shade of pink or red, but, you know, they'll see that kind of red, you know. I mean, they'll see exactly kind of what the object is. In this particular case, it sounds like that it's really, it's variable. I mean, in the sense that it really is almost completely dependent on the individual's perception. So, I mean, so it would be kind of, I mean, I guess you wouldn't really be able to capture each person's individual experience. I mean, so that when you take a picture, I mean, it could be, like we say, I mean, it's different from maybe what you experienced, but also from what everybody else experienced. So, to me, that's just, it's interesting because it really, in this kind of setting, the mind of the viewer, so to speak, is really active in what is seen.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think, you know, perception does play a large part, and it's perception at play or engaging with. And I like to say there's a religious scholar named Jeffrey Kripal. He always describes the paranormal as when the subjective and the objective kind of meet and merge. And I think that's a really interesting and accurate way to describe when you have a paranormal experience. So, yeah, there's this interior element that's always there that would be impossible for me to photograph. So I guess I'm kind of making pictures that are trying to reference or be their own thing or create another experience for people to have, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, for people who go through an experience, you know, with you, you know, in this kind of setting, they recognize what they experience. You take a photograph and show them what the photograph is. And if you have 10 people there and they all will say that they saw something slightly different, I think that in itself would really be enlightening for the people to recognize just how important, you know, their unique view of things are and how
mm-hmm.
how important it is that, you know, what they think and what they see are, you know, certainly not going to be what anybody else sees. So, I mean, it's kind of, in a way, it kind of just, to me, it seems to stress individual aspect of, you know, my mind, my view of this experience is different from your mind, your view of the same experience.
Yes, absolutely. And the camera is giving us another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's just fascinating. So now with the older version, the more Victorian one, you said that's kind of like the subset of spiritualism, the one with the moving. Have you been involved in any of those where objects have moved that you maybe have been able to capture? Or how? Because, see, to me, you know, that kinetic action, you know, would be much more obvious, you know, than a, you know, transfiguration kind of aspect.
Right. Yeah. Well, in some of the sittings that I was in when trumpets did move, that was complete darkness and I was not allowed to photograph anyway. But you know, and there's a lot of, you know, physical mediumship is a very controversial topic. And there's a lot of, you know, there are people in spiritualism who don't really want to promote physical mediumship because of all the complications, there's been fraud in the past. A lot of churches, spiritualist churches and camps abandoned these types of seances because they felt it was taking away from the legitimacy of spiritualism and mediumship. They were thinking it was too fraught, you know, it would open them up to too much criticism or to people, you know, there have been in the past mediums who have been caught cheating. So there's that element. And there's always this, you know, debate about what's really happening. And so the mediums who do physical mediumship, they're usually very careful. I'm really limited when I'm in these situations of what I can photograph and when. It's usually only a few minutes of the session. And I'm interested in this for multiple reasons, not only to photograph whatever is happening in the seance room, but I also feel like I'm documenting history. Like, I think it's very fascinating that this Victorian era seance is still alive in some way and it's still happening. So I consider myself a documentarian as well as, you know, an experimental artist in this project. And, you know, I do have mediums who say, oh, why are you photographing this medium? That person is not, you know, is not genuine this and that. And what I say is I'm documenting everybody and I'm putting the pictures forth and everyone can draw their own conclusions. And I'm not getting involved in any of those kind of debates because there is a lot of back and forth between, you know, between styles of mediumship. But I mean, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. It's called ego. yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, gosh, in a couple of weeks, I'm having a gentleman on, Riley Haggerty, and he just just published a couple of books on historical mediums, the Bangs sisters and Emily French from the 1800s. And so I'm going to be kind of taking a closer look at that. But it seems, you know, that historical, I mean, it, you know, it, that mediumship has really been around for a very long time. And there have been, and it, just like in current situations, there have been, there are people whose talents or skills or gifts, you know, may be exaggerated or even non-existent, you know. So, but then there are those who are very much gifted, you know. I mean, with like your experience of coming up with, you know, the grandfather, someone coming up with information about the grandfather, you know, when you're, that's what kind of got me, you know, open up to this idea, is when I recognized my partner's a clairvoyant, and he really nailed the head on with so many different things, and you know, and when I recognized, you know, college training is in psychology, statistical psychology. So when, you know, when I recognize that, what are the odds or chances of someone who knows nothing about, you know, this person coming up with such specific information and with such detail? I mean, it, you know, the odds were there has to be something there. You know what I mean? So
right.
Once you recognize that there has to be something, then, you know, you can kind of open yourself up to what ever it is, you know. And then, you know, that's when, you know, once you have that personal experience, that's when I think you're, as an individual, that's when I think your perception shifts. You know, I mean, for all the skeptics out there, you know, get yourself a personal experience, you know, and that'll shift your view.
Yes, it's all about personal experience. And what I do want to say too is that there's a term that's often used. It's called mixed mediumship. And that could be, you know, somebody gets caught cheating or cheats sometimes or sometimes does a trick, but sometimes it's real. And that complicates things even more. There was a very famous Italian medium named Giuseppe Palladino, and she was investigated by some of the top scientists in the Victorian era. And she would tell them, hold me tight or I'll cheat. Because she said it was just easier to cheat than actually do the real work. So she was very trickster in that way. And there's a lot of debate about, like, well, are you supposed to dismiss everything from a medium just because they've been caught bending the rules on some things? You know, these are part of the debate. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
crazy.
There's the whole, the whole, like, shamanic idea of, you know, shamans use tricks to amplify their magic or to amplify their healing. You know, it doesn't mean that they're not doing a healing, but they use visuals that are fake or exaggerating in order to make the effect more profound. So spiritualism actually sees itself very, very, very removed from shamanism, but I think there are some root elements that overlap.
Yeah, I can see that, and I can see that very well. We're gonna take just a real quick break, and I do want to invite listeners that if you would like to call in and ask Shannon any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to them right after the break. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hello. This is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me.
I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, again, thank you for staying with us. My guest today is Shannon Taggart, and we're talking about her upcoming book, Seance, Spiritualist Ritual and Search for Ectoplasm. And again, you can find out more about her book project, and we're going to talk about that shortly, but you can find out more at unbound.com/books/seance-spiritualist. And again, I do have a direct link to her project there in the show page description. And also in the show page description is a direct link to Shannon's webpage, and you can check out all the different photographs. They're very fascinating. So, again, shannontaggart.com, and that link also is in the show page description. Okay, with that, we're back, Shannon.
Okay, hello.
Okay, all righty. So, now, part of the book, in the very title, talks about ectoplasm. So, many of the listeners may not know what that is. So, would you kind of enlighten us to what ectoplasm is?
Yes. Well, I learned about ectoplasm when I first learned that there was a whole thing that happened called spirit photography. And I was shocked to realize that spiritualism had this very rich photographic past, because I did not learn about it in my history books. It's kind of, you know, it's a moment in the history of photography that's been sort of left out of the popular histories. And these images showed me these white streams coming out of women's mouths, or, you know, creating forms in seance rooms. There's an extensive historical archive of these ectoplasm images. And I was really shocked and interested in these pictures because I had never seen anything quite like them. They were bizarre and absurd and uniquely unsettling and very powerful. And so I became very interested in the idea of ectoplasm and if people were still doing it, or if spiritualists, you know, really believed in it. Not the spiritualists I met to tell me, yes, they absolutely believe in ectoplasm, but it's very rare. And so that's when I started to try and find people who are still doing the physical mediumship. And that took me to England, to a place called the Arthur Findlay College, which is, it's sort of like the way I describe it, it's kind of like a Hogwarts from Harry Potter for adult spiritualists. It's a very cool place. It's a large, beautiful property that was left to the Spiritualist National Union by a man named Arthur Findlay, who was a spiritualist, and he wrote a lot of important books, including my favorite, On the Edge of the Etheric. And he left this property to be run as a spiritualist college, and you could go. I think they teach like 2 or 3 classes a week, every week of the year. You can go take trance or healing or clairvoyant mediumship. So it's a really great place. So I went there, and Arthur Findlay College had kept the physical practices in study or in practice, even when it was really unpopular. And so I went there, and through the college, I ended up meeting people who are still practicing in this way. And what I discovered about ectoplasm is, it's for spiritualists, ectoplasm is an energy. It's a spiritual energy. So they don't consider it just manifesting in these dramatic white physical manifestations. It could mean you could be in a seance and they would say the ectoplasm is changing the temperature, or ectoplasm is creating, you know, experiences you can see with your eyes that aren't objectively there, or the ectoplasm is moving the table when you're doing table tipping. So I found that the term ectoplasm was a more expansive definition. And so I would meet a lot of mediums who would sit under red light and say that they were just channeling ectoplasm to do changes in the room, and I wasn't going to see the white streams. And for a while, I was convinced that I probably would never see classic ectoplasm like you see in the images. But then I finally did. In 2013, I photographed the German medium Kai Mugi, who does do traditional ectoplasm just like you see in the vintage images. And I was allowed to photograph him, and those images will be in the book. And I actually do, I'm going to pair them up with some of the vintage images because they're so similar. What is happening in his presentation is very similar to some of the pictures from the late 1800s. And I find that really, that aspect really interesting. And I've also photographed another medium named Warren Kaler with the classic ectoplasm. But as far as that goes, I've photographed other mediums who tell me ectoplasm does one thing or another. And in fact, one of the most interesting experiences I've ever had photographing was with it's a physical medium named Gordon Garforth. And I met him and he told me, well, I use ectoplasm to change the shape of my hands. And I was thinking, oh, well, I'll probably not see this. This can't be. And so, but he invited me to photograph his seance, and I was sitting in the front row about 6 feet from him, and his wife, you know, we're doing the seance and we're 20 minutes in, and his wife says, okay, the spirits are now going to work with Gordon's hands. And he lifted his hand and he just slowly moved it across his lap, you know, in front of his face. And there was a light there. And as he moved the hand, all of a sudden it just jumped into this gigantic form. And I screamed, which is a very impolite thing to do in a seance, and I felt really bad about it. And everybody else started screaming too, and I couldn't tell if they were screaming because I was screaming or if they really saw the hand. And I made pictures, but I was convinced that, okay, I said, Shannon, you hypnotically rendered that gigantic hand in your mind's eye, and you're going to see the pictures, and there's going to be a small hand. But when I looked at my, you know, I was shooting digital at this point, and when I downloaded my card, there are pictures of this gigantic hand. And again, the hand looks totally, it looks different than it did with my eyes. With my eyes, it was the most elegant, strange, I mean, most magical thing I've ever seen in my life. And in the picture, it kind of looks like a big glove or a prosthetic, but it did not look like that with my eyes. You know, so when I show pictures, I took the pictures to Lilydale, and my friend, the historian there, Ron Nagy, said, oh, Shannon, that's a glove. And I said, no, it really wasn't a glove. He had like a short-sleeved shirt. I don't know how this happened. But that's one of the things I love about this picture, is because people could tell me, oh, it's just a very elegant magic trick, and you were totally fooled by this very masterful trick.
Yeah.
Or your mind's eye kind of saw you, and you know, you're told you're going to see big hand, so your mind's eye kind of rendered it, and then your camera, you know, with the long exposure, made a big hand, and that's just like a coincidence. Or he made a giant hand come out magically. I love that all of those interpretations are there, and I leave it up to the viewer. Because I don't know. It's one of the most shocking and magical experiences I've ever had. It was really, for me, it was profound. I was not expecting that. And so I love that the photograph, I can use the photograph to kind of give other people, you know, a questioning or mysterious experience.
Right. Yeah. So now, from the sound of it, you know, ectoplasm seems to be, it doesn't seem to be a physical something that you can actually touch or hold in your hand or experience that way. It's more energetic?
It depends on the medium. Yeah, I mean, okay. Warren Kaler does it, like, what I'm saying is that, you know, with Kai, it's objective physical ectoplasm that looks, you know, you could see it, it's white, it's gauzy looking. With Warren Kaler, he even lets people touch the ectoplasm. He asks them to come forward and to touch it. With other mediums, it's like with Gordon Garforth, it's with him, the ectoplasm changed the shape of his hand, you know, right. So it was like an energy that morphed. Or, you know, a transfiguration medium might say the ectoplasm makes a mask over my face, and that's what you're seeing. It's not light. So it's these differing interpretations or forces that, you know, ectoplasm can act in different ways according to these interpretations. And I found that it really depended on the medium. And then, of course, you get in debates. Well, that's not ectoplasm, but that is, you know, everybody seems to have their own opinion. It's a controversial substance.
Yeah, it seems, I mean, first of all, the whole mediumship and just even the metaphysics has, you know, been, I mean, it's really kind of controversial in many ways for some people. Some people, now I remember I had probably in the late 90s, I was living in San Diego, and a couple local osteopaths had passed on. They were probably in their 80s, and a friend was cleaning out their home, and said that they had a box of things that they thought I would like. And I thought, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I kind of jumped in the car, ran over there, and in the box was, I mean, some of the best spiritualist information. I mean, they had the National Spiritualist Association newspapers from the 30s. You know,
oh, wow.
With, you know, Mark Twain's experiences. I mean, it was just, it was fascinating, you know, and they had this one little red handbook called, you know, it was the National Spiritual Association handbook, you know, and so I went to the gym at that, you know, the time. So the next day I went to the gym. I thought, oh, let me grab this book and read it while I'm on the bike, and I opened up the page, and it was like they convened 100 years to the day that I was reading that book, you know, and I was like, wow. Yeah. So, but I mean, it was, you know, so, I mean, this thing is, you know, the views and the openness has really been going on for such a long time. And, you know, it's really not new age at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But it's like you say, you know, whenever you have people who bend the rules or, you know, kind of aren't as gifted as they purport to be, then that kind of, you know, casts a shadow on those who are truly gifted. So, but I think we're in the age right now with quantum mechanics, and that we're really beginning to scientifically prove many of the things that, you know, the spiritualists and metaphysics had touted for many years.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I think, I'm very interested in learning more about, like, how perception plays into how something being observed kind of changes the situation. And, I think that part is see parallels between, what I'm saying with photography and what the quantum.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're kind of winding down toward the end of the show, but I want to spend just a little bit of time on your upcoming book. And as I mentioned, it's upcoming. So you have your book project is on unbound.com. So can you share with the listeners, you know, what that project's about and how people can actually become involved in it?
Sure. So the project it's going to be a compilation of all of my work, of my photographs and research on spiritualism. It's a 16-year long project, and there's going to be an illustrated introduction with a lot of historical images. I've been working with some of the archivists who have, you know, like the original Albert von Schreck-Notzing images. There's an archivist named Andreas Fischer who's said I could use some of those and reproduce them in the book. There's a bunch of other archives that I'm going to be working with, because I want to give the proper context to spiritualism and show that it did have this very intense photographic history. It's also, spiritualism is important to the women's rights movement, modern art. It's there's so many facets, scientific inquiry. There's so many scientists who are spiritualists and who played around with photography and trying to prove that the spiritual realm existed. I feel like this history is kind of lost or maybe separated from how we see mediumship now. So I think that aspect is going to be very important. I'm going to also have interviews with the mediums that I photograph and extended captions. And there's going to, so it'll be my image is documenting mediumship. And also I'm going to be I document the material culture of mediumship, meaning the cabinets, the handmade trumpets, some of original spirit art. Like, it's very important, I think, to show all aspects of the culture. So I really see it as a documentary project, and that's, it's almost like an ethnography of modern spiritualism as well as an experimental art project. I'm also going to spend a lot of time photographing instrumental transcommunication practitioners, those who try to merge technology. Trying to merge technology with mediumship, and they use, you know, radios or video. EVP is a popular form, or photography, that kind of thing. I'm going to do a lot with that topic. And so hopefully it'll be I will want to have a glossary of terms, meaning like defining what apports are. You know, apports are objects that are transported during spiritualist ritual that sometimes show up out of nowhere. I'm going to go into the history of the medium's cabinet. So I hope this book is not only going to be my 16 years of photographs, but also it's going to be it's going to have a text that really talks a lot about spiritualism then and now. And so it's my hope that I think it's going to be 350 pages. And I really think it's going to be a great book. And right now it's on pre-sale right now. I need to sell a few hundred copies before it goes into production via pre-sale. So you can go to the Unbound link and just pre-buy the book, and then when it's done, it just gets shipped right to you. And everybody who is part of this pre-sale, they get their name listed in the book as a patron. So that's and for every edition, your name will be listed. So if it sounds like something you'd be interested in having your name in, please go to the Unbound link. And I've been doing updates. If you do a pledge, you'll get my updates where I send out the press. And I think I have a few of the page layouts, some possible page layouts, so you can get a sense of what the book will look like. And, as soon as you pledge, you'll get all my updates. And, and I'm really excited. I'm so happy that I'm finally putting this out into the world. And I just am really excited about it. And I'm so thankful you had me on to be able to talk about it. So thank you.
Yeah, well, my pleasure. You know, I mean, it really, I really like the way that you're approaching it, you know, from the historical perspective all the way up to current, because like you said, when you went through photography school, it's an area that you weren't taught, and I'm sure it's not taught. And, the way that you have had to kind of go about, define all, conventions when it comes to taking photography, I think that in itself, from, a photographer's point of view, is to recognize that, these are ways that many people take pictures. Now, I looked at the pictures that your husband has. He's a great photographer, a lot of his photos, I'm sure, really follow the rules, in many ways, and it's great. I mean, it's good, but again, there's that another side to it. There's that, spontaneity, kind of spur of the moment, adjustments, and just modifying cameras, there's that whole aspect that can be explored and create wonderful means of communication, kind of points of discussion and for people to learn. So it's going to be great.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that come out.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate you having me on, and that it's so nice to talk to you because you really understand what I'm trying to do with the project. So I thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Now, are you on any social media?
I do have an Instagram account, and it's
okay.
Seance Book.
Okay.
I'm at Seance Book. And
I've been
putting up historical images and some of my outtakes. And so not so much from the book, because I'm kind of saving that for the book. But
right.
It's topical. It's all material that complements or relates to the book.
Well, great. Well,
I'm going to join
you on Instagram as soon as we hang up.
good. Yes, I'm on Facebook too. I'm Shannon Lee Taggart on Facebook. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, I look forward. I'm going to try and connect with you there too. So anyway, I look forward to keeping in touch and seeing this progress. And I really want to thank you for your time, Shannon. I've really enjoyed today.
Thank you. Me too. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Shannon Taggart. We've been talking about her upcoming book, Seance, Spiritualist Ritual and Search for Ectoplasm. And again, you can find out more about the book project at unbound.com/book/seance-spiritualist. There is a direct link to that webpage in the show page description. And again, you can find out more about Shannon by visiting her website, which is shannontaggart.com. And again, there's a link to that as well in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.